This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's awkward and illustrious career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. This first episode, we're not actually starting with a Billy Joel album per se.
No. Before we get into the official Joel canon, we're going to do a whirlwind inspection of the three proto-Billy Joel albums. We are going to talk about the two albums that he made with the Hassles. This is the band that he joined as a teenager. And then we're going to talk about the big one, the album that some critics have called the worst record ever made.
Woo!
The self-titled debut of Billy Joel's heavy metal duo, Attila. Or as I like to call it, Attira! Attira!
Save your city! But first, we got to talk about the self-titled debut by the Hassles, which came out in November 1967. Adam, let's talk about what happened in late 1967.
Well, in a matter close to my heart, LBJ has just signed the Public Broadcasting Act. Conversely, he has also initiated a massive propaganda campaign to make Americans feel better about the Vietnam War.
In 1967, a new house would have cost you about $25,000, and a first-class stamp was 5 cents. So I guess people were still writing letters to each other at that point. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the last time I sent a letter. Probably around the same time I was experimenting with messenger pigeons.
You don't love any of the people that you correspond with.
I really
clearly.
Don't.
And also in 1967, a young William Joel he's a senior at Hicksville High School in Hicksville, Long Island, where he has joined a local band called the Hassles. The Hassles played covers of contemporary R&B and soul tunes, and Billy Joel was actually not the lead singer, at least not at first. Here he is in a later show talking about the singer of the Hassles.
The lead singer, he's a really good-looking guy, great hair, frontman. You know what a frontman is? I don't know if they call him frontman anymore.
Yeah, we do.
Like Mick Jagger was the original frontman. You know? Great body. Long, lean, great hair, pouty lips, you know.
Billy Joel always body-shaming himself, you know.
Like the front man. Little John. His name was Little John. John Dyzek. He became a Jesus freak. Look, you asked me, I'm telling you. Wrote me a letter, actually, after I put out the recording of Only the Good Die Young, scolding me, which I thought was hysterical because this is the original deviant of all time.
I love how he seems to get more Long Island as he gets older.
Billy Joel does, you mean?
It seems like he gets more and more into the accent, into the life, into this caricature of the Long Island guy.
Yeah, because, I mean, as we'll hear, I think that when he was a very young man, he was actually maybe actively trying to suppress that, right?
Right, yeah.
He's
yeah.
trying to sound like Mr.
Everybody
Worldly.
Else.
Yeah, exactly. So like if you figure it as like two lines on a diagram, right? Like we're at the trough of his outward Long Islandness in the early part of his career, right?
Right?
Okay. And then it just goes up and up and up over the course of time. Now there's this corresponding graph, which is like the exact opposite. It plots like in the opposite direction. So you've got like an X on the graph. And this other line is basically the sincerity of his Long Islandness, like the genuineness
yeah.
of
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, there might be a point as we advance in We Didn't Start the Podcast, where there's a moment where we get to that point where the two lines cross, right? Where like he is exuding his Long Islandness and he still actually is really Long Island.
Right, exactly. So it's like right. the algebra of Billy Joel.
Yeah, and that could be really exciting. I'm going to guess that maybe Nylon Curtain is when that happens.
Yeah, there might be like this perfect storm, this one plot point.
Right, but after that, it just becomes totally performative and insincere.
It does.
Which is where we're at now.
Yeah, I think.
And people should know that with this podcast, like, we're going to do every album, right? We're going to talk about every episode is going to be an album. This is a weird episode because we're doing three albums at a time.
Yeah, we want to get the proto Joel out of the way.
Exactly. If we had done a whole episode on the Hassles debut, I think that people would already have stopped listening by now.
Right.
Right, which they probably have.
Right.
Okay. But let's just continue sitting in our office and amusing ourselves. So we're going to do the albums. And then the thing is that it's like, you know, Billy Joel famously stopped making albums. In like what? When did River of Dreams come out?
Oh God, I think it was like 97.
Okay, right. So there's a lot of time has elapsed since then, and we're gonna want to try to figure out some way to talk about old fat sad Billy Joel era.
Old fat sad.
And we need.
We should just call him that. Old fat sad.
Uptown girl, She's been living in her uptown world. I bet you never had a white side guy. I bet your mama never told you why. That's why I cry.
So the Hassles, self-titled debut album. What song do you want to start with?
Let's start with Every Step I Take. It's like something out of Spinal Tap, but when Spinal Tap was in their late 60s, dream child sort of.
Yeah, so the Hassles are like, actually, should we just like look at a picture of them on the internet?
Let's just look at it.
Everybody at home, just Google image search the Hassles. So what would you call that hairstyle that, that Billy's got there? He looks in this photograph. This is like the main band photo from United Artists Records. And he looks like he has chocolate all over his face.
Yeah. Yeah. How did he get exposed like that?
Maybe it is actually chocolate. You know, he's already got a little bit of the Joel Pudge, even at this stage.
He does. He does. Like everybody else kind of looks like California rock gods. And there, here's Joel. You know, just on the edge of the crowd, looking dark and mysterious in his stripedy shirt.
With the hair.
With the hair.
How would you describe that hair?
Unfortunate. I would describe it as unfortunate.
So it's like a long mop top kind of
right.
thing. Like, so they're mods, right?
They're mods, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there's another band photo where Joel seems to be wearing wearing one leather pant. Okay, like it's like one leg of the pants
right.
is leather. The other one is just like a khaki chino or something.
Hey, you guys, my mom made me these pants. She's they're not like, real good yet.
They're two-tone pants.
And it's he's got like this ruffle, like
he's Austin Powers from the waist up.
Absolutely,
in this one. Yeah.
Absolutely. He's a less cool Austin Powers, which is saying something.
Okay, all right. Let's listen to what was this song called again?
Every Step I Take.
All right, okay.
Everything I do.
So I don't think that's Joel singing. I think that's Little John. Well, that sounds a little like Joel.
It does, yeah.
Maybe they're trading lines. Because that's Joel. That's Joel.
That's Joel.
Every move I make, I'm trying to escape my life.
That's definitely Joel.
Oh, yeah.
I turn out what I hide.
So we could make fun of this, and we will.
And we will.
but he's 18 years old. I mean, he's 18 years old, this
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Actually pretty amazing that he had that kind of self-possession to at least do that.
And as we go back into the chorus here, you can really, his like kind of Ray Charles voice
yeah.
is there. Like,
yeah.
It's fully developed. Listen to it. Comes out of the back of the throat, this particular voice.
Yeah.
I mean, Billy Joel is like a guy who like, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, as the show progresses, who like has multiple voices that he puts on, right? He's got his like sincere singer-songwriter voice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's got his rock voice,
yeah.
his heart attack voice, right?
Take that, communism!
We'll get to that. And then he's got his like his Ray Charles voice, which I think we're hearing
yeah.
in the song. And which raises this, like, you know, one of the many kind of problematic things about Billy Joel is, like, do we think that he engages in musical blackface, right?
Ooh, yeah. That kind of blue-eyed soul sort
yeah.
of thing?
But it's just, I mean, it's...
Well, I think that's, and he's talked about this, you can definitely hear it in his later work, that he's really influenced by Motown and the black singer-songwriters that
yes.
he grew up listening to. And I think there's something about Billy Joel that he... is very he's easily influenced.
Yes. A derivative would be the unkind way to
yes,
say that.
Would be
right?
the unkind way to say that.
And even more unkind would be to say that it's appropriative, right?
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. Look, he's 18 years old in this record, so let's just cut him some slack,
right,
okay?
Cut
him some slack, Donahue.
No, he needs to always be perfect.
Jesus. All
he's
right.
Billy freaking Joel.
I want to ask you one question before we leave this song. Every step I take, every move I make. Do we think that Sting heard this song? Or do we just think that, like, if you're kind of a bonehead lyricist, that's just the kind of rhyme you come up with?
I think it's B.
Yeah.
I think it just sort of, and what cracks me up about this song and all of the songs on this album, or most of them at least, is they don't end. They just kind of fade out.
Yeah.
There's no ending.
Record producers are big on the fades in the late 60s.
It's like they're just sort of walking away from you. This is like, we're done now. I don't know how to leave you. They're ghosting on us.
You've got abandonment issues I didn't even know about.
Don't leave me, Billy.
Testing. Doo-doo-doo. Doo-doo-doo. Doo-doo-doo.
How many more songs are we going to listen to off this stupid album?
We are going to listen to I Can Tell next, which is awesome. It's so awesomely.
And these two songs that we picked from the Hassles debut, they are W. Joel compositions, right?
Yes.
And that's why we picked them, because there's also like a lot of covers and
yeah,
stuff.
We decided not to go with the covers, although their cover was the one that charted.
Yeah, they had something like that. Okay, here we go. I Can Tell.
Dance, dance, dance.
Sort of a Wilson Pickett thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so Wilson Pickett. It's the happiest song about like somebody hating you. Like, I know you hate me, and it's okay.
Here's the thing, there's so many bands that came out subsequently that kind of did this whole sound kind of ironically, or I don't know if you can call the Monkees ironic, but they're sort of proto-ironic, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
But I, you know, for them, I mean, these are just teenagers on Long Island, and they're just playing a song that sounds like the records that they like, the like Stax and Motown records that they like, and and they're doing it well, you know.
What happened to organs? My uncle had an organ in his house, and I would go and like smash my hands all over it, make this horrible sound. Can somebody bring back organs, please?
I think by the end of this episode, when we listen to the Attila album, we're gonna find out what happened to organs. Okay.
Well, I'm on the Downeaster, Alexa.
Feel free to sway.
I'm cruising through Block Island Sound. I have charted a course to the vineyard, but tonight I am Nantucket bound.
It's time to talk about our first sponsor today, Southhold Town Adult Daycare in downtown Matatuck, Long Island. Southhold Town Adult Daycare, we're going to take your grandma to the track.
My grandma made $30 at the track. Thanks, Southhold Town Adult Daycare.
I mean, it's a good service that they offer, right? I mean, it's a real clean van.
And my grandmother loves to gamble.
Yeah.
She loves it. And now, instead of like nickel slots or whatever, she gets a chance to make some real money.
Right, exactly.
Those pills aren't cheap.
And you can feel safe about it because Jimmy's driving the van. He's a good kid.
All right. He's gotten some trouble. Who hasn't? But he's a good kid.
I remember him from his first communion like it was yesterday.
Ah, okay. That kid was so fat.
he fits in the van now.
He does.
And we want to thank the good people at Southhold Town Adult Daycare for their support of the podcast.
Oh, we appreciate it.
If you said goodbye to me tonight, there would still be music left to write. What else could I do? I'm so inspired by you. That hasn't happened for the longest time.
Let's move on to the second album by the Hassles. Hour of the Wolf! It's December 1969, Adam. What's
December
happening
1969.
In the world?
What's happening,
What's
right?
happening, baby?
Well, the Pentagon has just held the first draft lottery in the United States since World War II. And the Rolling Stones, they've just put out the Let It Bleed album featuring the song You Can't Always Get What You Want.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about appropriation again.
Good point. It's going to be our big theme for this whole pod.
We're going to shame everybody.
Yeah.
And Little John has left the Hassles, which means 20-year-old Billy Joel is now the lead singer. Let's go ahead and take a Google image break and Google Hour of the Wolf cover art.
Okay.
Get ready for some 1969, some kind of...
It's like they would do this on when bands would play TV shows, and there would be like they do like composite like imaging.
Yes,
it was like green screen kind of stuff, but I don't think they had green screens back then.
Right, so it's really really crappy. Kind of, it's supposed to look like a wolf staring
head
at you.
Yeah,
but also the band is at the bottom like third of it, and they're pointing to the past. It's really weird. I always assume that left is to the past, right is
well,
to
sure
the future, left is to the
that's
past.
Very Western normative of you.
Wouldn't it be though? All the shame.
All the shame. Okay. That's going to be the subtitle on this episode. All the shame. So this is like, I actually think this cover art captures what we're about to hear, which is that it's like at this point, the band is going more in like the psychedelic direction.
It kind of looks like something you'd see on the side of a van. Don't get in that van.
Don't get a van
don't
that you don't want to get into.
Don't get in
well,
that van.
Well, if you
van
saw no, if you saw the van in 1969, you definitely want to get in the van.
That's a pretty sweet
but
van.
It's like it's in the year 2016. There's a dude still driving that van.
No,
and you don't get in that van.
His name is Mike. Don't get in there.
What first song do you want to listen to? Meg?
Country Boy.
Country Boy. This is the leadoff track, right?
Yeah. Long Island.
Yeah, it's really, it's real, you know? You can tell he's singing from real life.
He really is. He really is. He's really pulling from the well of his experience. And I'm wondering, you know, how is this mixed? It just feels like they piled the guitar on top. They buried Billy under the guitar.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, my favorite
tambourine
part. It's the tambourine. It makes a huge entrance. It's the sixth member of the band. Put some googly eyes on it. Put it on a thing.
This is, because it's like, so 1969, I mean, it actually is, it's like pretty early in the era of commercial stereophonic recording, and producers didn't quite know what to do with the stereo field at this stage, and so they were doing silly things like this, where like, the drums are entirely on the left side, you know? So it's like you feel
it feels uneven.
It feels heavy on the left side of my face right now. But it's they're going for like a heavier sound, like you can tell, right?
They are, but then they break it up with the tambourine.
The tambourine always so lightens things up, yeah.
So they really still have a little bit of the psychedelic in there, because you've never heard Megadeth with the tambourine.
All
right. Tambourine solo! Woo! That's somebody's girlfriend.
I've heard enough of this song.
Me too.
Okay, can we move on? What else? From Hour of the Wolf.
It's going to be so good. It's the title track.
The title track from Hour of the Wolf.
Hour of the Wolf.
All right, here it comes.
Fear. And something gray is passed beside you in the ever-fading light.
Time.
No more meaning, all you know is that there's
all you know.
All you know. All you know.
He sounds like Lemmy Wink.
He does.
It is a nightmare, not a dream.
Not a dream.
It is the hour of the wolf.
Nailed it. Nailed it. You know
it's
really
chord progression under this part.
First of all, I'd like to point out, this is an 11-minute song.
I know.
What the hell? At what point does that just become rude? Just like, I can't be here anymore.
This is, okay, so
the
like,
hellhound.
Words like pretentious are often thrown around kind of willy-nilly. Words like sophomoric are often thrown around kind of willy-nilly, but like, this is sophomoric,
it
right?
It really is. It really is. It's like someone who has read Lovecraft for the first time.
Yeah.
Or
Tolkien. Yeah.
It is the hour of the wolf. Yeah, keep it real.
I love the melisma where it goes down at the end. Hold on, let's listen to that again. We need instant replay on that.
It is the hour of the wolf.
And you know they're taking it so seriously.
I know. Well, so back to what I was saying before about how like there are the distinct Billy Joel voices, right?
Right.
And he's not using Ray Charles' voice anymore. He has gone to Ernest Joel voice.
Yeah. He has.
Because this is a very serious song. And it's very artsy. And he's put a lot of work into these chord changes here. And he's a classically trained pianist, and he wants you to know that.
In England, they're called lifts, not elevators. Because he's English now.
Yeah.
That's how it's so earnest.
You know what's reminding me of this song, actually, is like early Peter Gabriel era Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I could hear that.
Yeah.
I feel like he was listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin.
Zeppelin had barely even really happened at this point. I mean, I think this is more like...
So good.
The backup vocals there.
It was called Stone Age.
Okay, I can't listen to this anymore. All right. Okay, all right. In all seriousness, what, he's 20 years old at this point?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The 20-year-old, okay? This is like, I mean, he's, like, I don't know why I'm defending him because my role on this show is that I hate Billy Joel and you really like him. Like, I really, I'm not just play acting that. I really don't like Billy Joel, but, like, he is a person of prodigious talent. You know, just not taste.
just not original talent? Is that what you're saying?
No, well, no, he is a very... He has incredible musical facility. I would put him in the category of like a Prince or a Paul McCartney in terms of those are his peers in pop music, like people who just have tremendous skill at their instrument and know how music works, know how theory works, and can just do it. And he's really nearly unparalleled in that in terms of like stars in popular music. But maybe this is going to be my grand unified theory of Joel is that it's like he's the perfect demonstration of the fact that talent and taste are totally unrelated things. They're totally unrelated things. And his differential is just enormous. Incredible talent, no taste. You're going to fight me on that?
I'm going to fight you on that. I'm going to fight you on that. Not here. Not
now. Not with Hour of the Wolf.
Yeah, no, I can't defend that. But I will defend, you know, I will say that he has taste later on. Just not right now.
just not this episode.
9 o'clock on a Saturday. The Rick shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me. Making love to his tonic engine.
Time now to talk about our second sponsor for today's show, Mr. Sausage in Huntington Village, Long Island.
Yeah.
Mr. Sausage, we're never going to let you forget that your dinner was once a sentient being that we killed and stuffed into its own ass. Bring the family.
So this is the thing. I mean, what you want to see in a sausage shop, Meg, you want to see a lot of anthropomorphic representations of pigs, right?
Absolutely. If not, I'm out.
You want to see the knickknack on the shelf where they've got like the canned tomatoes and everything.
Yep.
Like you want to see the knickknack of the pig that's standing upright in like a chef's or a butcher's apron or something like that, and it's like smiling
right.
And it's like rubbing its own belly, like I'm so delicious, right?
I've cooked my friends for you.
This is what you want to see in a sausage shop, because what you want to know that these creatures are really happy to have been inverted into their own digestive systems.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To be consumed by you in convenient tube form, right?
It's the best form for all food.
Okay. And so like Mr. Sausage is, I mean, so Mr. Sausage, Meg, do you do the sweet or the sweet sausage or do the spicy sausage?
Sweet. I've got no time for the spicy. I've got no time for that nonsense.
And that is why you like Billy Joel. And we'll get back to that. But we need to keep it on track here because the fine folks at Mr. Sausage have paid for this message. And
they
so
have.
We really need to give them their money's
bless.
Worth. You know, the Baldanza brothers are great kids. I remember them from their first communion too.
So fat.
They make sausage.
They make sausage. Right? They were really fattened up by the grandma.
Well, you wouldn't trust a skinny sausage maker,
no,
right? Just like you
no.
wouldn't trust a skinny anthropomorphic pig.
Absolutely not. I'm not going to eat a diseased pig. I don't want to get my sausage from a diseased butcher. I need them pleasantly plump.
All right. We want to thank the good people at Mr. Sausage for their support of the show.
So the Hassles were a commercial failure. Billy and drummer John Small left the band to start their own project, which would become the infamous Attila.
Attila! Attila!
Oh, no! We're going to listen to some of the songs of Attila in a minute. But first, Adam, this album came out on July 27th, 1970. Tell us what happened in July of 70.
Okay, what's happening in July of 70 is Dick Nixon is the fresh new face in the White House.
So handsome.
Watergate is barely a glint in his eye, his squinty, jaundiced eye.
The Bee Gees have just released Cucumber Castle, which I think was Barry Gibb's ode to his favorite pair of silky underdrawers.
Oh, people, just stop for a second and think about where Meg's mind is going there. Cucumber Castle.
They probably had kangaroos on them. He's from Australia.
The Beatles' last album, Let It Be, has just come out a couple of months prior. The Long and Winding Road is all over the radio, albeit with Phil Spector's schlocky choral arrangement just spoozed all over it.
And Joseph Heller's Catch-22 is released, a darkly comic anti-war novel that every ninth grader shoved in the back of their locker and lied to their teacher about reading.
I know that I did. 1970, solid year for Joel.
Solid year for Joel.
All right, here's how Billy Joel described Attira. Attira! End of the 60s, I was in a two-man group. We were heavy metal. We were going to destroy the world with amplification. We had titles like Godzilla, March of the Huns, Brain Invasion. A lot of people think I just came out of the piano bar. I did a lot of heavy metal for a while. We had about a dozen gigs, and nobody could stay in the room when we were playing. It was too loud. We drove people literally out of the clubs. It was great, but we can't stay in the club.
I don't think they were driven out of the club because it was too loud.
This is Billy Joel, like, it's like he's like a rapper talking about the days when he was hard,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is his cred story.
Yep.
Like I wasn't always this, you know, guy. I was hardcore, dude.
Totally hardcore.
I
wrote
in a metal
songs
band.
Like Brain Invasion.
Bitch.
Right? Kick you in the face.
Foreshadowing, Meg. Good job. Good job there. I guess people can judge for themselves whether they think that what they're about to hear really counts as heavy metal, but
it's something.
Where shall we start?
Let's start with Wonder Woman.
Lead off track.
Yes.
Right? Okay, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, with your skin so bare.
So it's a mixture of Billy Joel rock voice that we're going to hear later, and Billy Joel earnest voice is a little bit in there too.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the deal with Attila is that it's a two man group. It's just drums and Joel playing an organ through a Marshall stack, through a guitar amplifier.
Right.
Which, like, anyone who's, I mean, if anyone's like played with that, they know, like, you put like a keyboard through a distortion pedal, it can sound almost like an electric guitar. And he's playing, I mean, back to what I was saying before, like, I mean, this is a seriously talented guy. He's like playing the bass line with his left hand. He's doing other stuff with his right. Which is like, I guess Ray Manzarek of the Doors would have been doing the same thing around the time. Doors did not have a bass player. And it's clear that, like, this is, the Doors was probably their jumping off point
right.
for this. Do you think it sounds like heavy metal though?
I'm sorry?
Do you think it sounds like heavy metal though?
I think it sounds like an attempt at heavy metal. I think it sounds like it's a terrible song, but it's catchy. It's not like the good metal that came out later in the late, you know, 80s and speed metal and
the good metal of
so
the 80s
proto metal. The, I mean, late 80s.
Seriously, I mean, this is, so what we say, this is like summer of, no, late
What, 70?
70, okay. So 70, like, Black Sabbath has put out their first record, but it's not been released in America yet. Like, so they haven't, they've not heard metal. What they've heard is, like, Iron Butterfly, which I think actually that song, the Inagata DeVita song, that
right.
song was recorded in Hempstead, New York. So, like, I mean, seriously, like, Joel might have seen them play.
He may have.
So that's what they mean in terms of heavy metal, but,
He's so angry.
He's so hard.
He's so
got
hard.
Cred,
he's so
you
legit.
Know? He really, he's from the streets.
He's so legit, man. That's Long Island shit right there. I did write down, I made a note of this line. I can't believe you're mine. Your body feels so fine. I mean, what a poet. What a poet.
Yeah, that's an example of the kind of rhymes we're going to get later on.
Right, yeah, yeah.
With this guy. His lyrics generally not his forte.
Oh yeah!
Wonder Woman with your skin so fair. Wonder Woman with your long red hair.
And you know, it's funny. The redheaded woman is like a theme throughout his career.
Really, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, yeah. He makes mention of a redheaded woman in a couple of other songs later on in his career, and kind of cracks me up because he does have this sort of round head. So it makes me think of, like, he's Charlie Brown going after a little redheaded girl, but in Long Island.
I wonder if that just ate at Christie Brinkley. It just ate her up, you know? She's like, I'm the most desirable woman in the world, and I'm never going to please you, Billy, because I don't have
red
damn hair.
God!
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too white? Maybe I should buy some cool-top cows, but back to the ancient giant.
Okay, I have serious things I want to say about this band.
All right.
So there's a reason why this sounds so lame, I think. bear with me. So this I have to explain some things. So like there's this famous story about Robert Moog, the inventor of the Moog synthesizer, had a conversation with Quincy Jones in some like the late 60s or something. And Robert Moog asked Quincy Jones, Quincy, like, why aren't more black musicians using my invention, the Moog synthesizer? And Quincy says, you know, look, you can't bend the pitch, right? Like it's all, you can't make pitches go, like you can't control it. It's all just hit the button and everything is very discreet and formal. And unless you can bend the pitch, like black musicians aren't going to be interested. You can't make it funky then. Now, I think that far be it for Adam to dispute what black musicians do and do not want in an instrument. But I will note, Quincy, that like, I think a few black people played the piano pretty well. And like, you can't bend the pitch on a piano, but... Anyways, that's what Quincy Jones said to Bob Moog, and Bob Moog, as the story goes, and I think the story was relayed by Quincy, so who knows. But Bob Moog like was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he went away and he invented the pitch wheel that is on the actual mini Moog synthesizer that sort of made his name. So it's a pitch wheel. It was just a wheel on the side of the keyboard that you could move it up and down to bend the pitch. And then Stevie Wonder picks up that ball and runs like 50 million miles with it, right?
Oh, wow.
So the point is that it's like, you can't, at least as Quincy Jones would say, and I think we can trust Quincy Jones on this, that like you can't make something really sound kind of raunchy or funky without being able to bend pitch, right? Because that's where the little notes in between notes, those are where the blue notes are. Those are where the funky notes are. And you can bend pitch on a guitar by bending notes, right? By bending the string up and down. And that's where you get a lot of the best kind of raunchiest riffs. But when you take a keyboard or an organ and you run it through a distortion pedal or you run it through a Marshall stack, yes, it does sound kind of superficially like a distorted electric guitar, but ultimately it is this very formal strapped down instrument at its core, right? Where you can't bend the pitch and it's still the churchy instrument.
Right. Yeah.
Just going through a Marshall stack. And to me that gets at what this is. There's just, and it gets at this bigger thing about Joel, period, which is that there is this lameness at his core. there is this just real white boy formality at his core that he just can't overcome no matter how loose he tries to play it.
That is an interesting theory.
You don't want to fight me on that?
I think Billy Joel is plenty funky.
Okay. Shall we see that in the next track?
Yes. I actually wrote this down as God, I Love Revenge, which is actually not the song's name, but that really gets to the heart of it.
What is the song called?
The name of this track is Revenge is Sweet.
I think it's going to be some more hard, Joel.
Sweet. At last, I've overcome defeat. I said I'd win somehow. I had to wait. Oh, but look, I'll retaliate.
All right, okay. I got to fast forward.
Later on in this song?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there's a big moment. You want to set it up?
Yeah. He gets really into the idea of revenge. Like, it's almost kind of frightening if you listen to it.
All right, okay.
Now I turn around and kick your faces in. I kick your faces in. Revenge is sweet.
Oh, and you kind of wonder if he, like, played this song by his high school in, like, his, like, you know, 1976 Datsun or whatever, and was just like, yeah, revenge is sweet.
That's right, yeah. Jocks at Hicksville High who made fun of me in my piano books, right? And my story songs.
My story songs. Knocking my piano books out of my hands.
That's right, yeah.
Now I'm in a sweet metal band.
I mean, are you honestly telling me that there's something about this that you think actually is genuine? Like, you think that this sounds hard?
I think it sounds vulnerable in a very angry 15-year-old way.
Okay, he's 20.
Well, yeah.
No, he's older now. He's like, this is the next year. He's 21.
20. He's still 20, but he sounds like a 15-year-old. Okay. He sounds like a 15-year-old who got the hottest girl at school to go to prom with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds...
Which didn't happen until Christie Brinkley.
Right, who was the hottest
girl? So, like, he's
girl.
Really about 15 years too early.
Yeah. So, it's kind of frightening, but also kind of touching in its own, you know, Billy Joel way of just... I'm sorry, I'm just listening to this sweet guitar solo right now.
It's not a guitar solo, it's an organ solo.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, this is all
wow.
organ.
Wow.
You got fooled.
I did.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You can't lick girls much way too late. Sooner or later, it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one.
Do we think Attila earns the epithet that it has, which is like potentially the worst album ever?
No, I've heard so many more terrible albums.
I am going to really agree with you there.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it when critics say that kind of like, so like as we are recording, there was recently an article that a lot of people were talking about, what was it called? The Starship song.
We built the city on
rock and roll.
Oh, that's
like where people
song?
Call that like the worst single of all time, and it's like
it's the worst.
That's like a
time.
Really. I mean, look, there's things about that are very lame, but it's like you want to hear a bad. I'll play you a bad song. Like that's like a really well constructed.
I'll write you a bad song.
Yeah, I will write you a bad song too. So, I mean, I think to call this the worst album ever is just ridiculous. What they mean is like the worst album by an incredibly famous, successful musician.
Right.
Right. So that's grading it on quite a curve.
It is. I think it's the worst squandering of potential. I think he could have been so much better. But the thing about Attila, and I actually, when you sent me this, I actually liked it. Because I think it has a lot of, like, a little bit of what he's going to become later on in songwriting and in, like, musically. And what also I really, really liked about this is the cover art.
Oh, should we talk about the cover art?
Oh, let's talk about the cover
Everybody
art.
Everybody at home, Google image search Attila, Billy
Attila,
Joel.
Attila, Billy Joel.
Cover art.
So
what
Billy,
do we got here?
Billy has, like, this long, flowing locks. And he...
Do we think that's real?
I think that's
a weave?
Real. No, I think that's real. Right. I think that's real. I think that's something he's like, hey, baby, Leno, watch out for my hair. And he is standing... Well, he's dressed like a conquistador. And then he and his bandmate are both dressed like conquistadors.
Yeah.
And they're standing in
They have leather skirts.
Leather skirts, some kind of body armor.
Uh-huh.
Standing in the meat refrigerator from Rocky. And it's all dark, and they look really, but he looks there. It must be shot from above because he looks really short.
Is that sand on the ground?
That's sand on the ground.
So we've got beach, we've got meat locker. Because, I mean, if you're not seeing this at home right now, it's like there's sides of beef hanging around.
There's sides
around
of beef.
Nothing's
more metal than sides of meat.
Sides of beef. We got beach, beef, and. War of the Roses, maybe,
yeah,
I'm thinking. They look like
War.
The Roundheads.
Yeah.
And 70s, like, rape van mustaches, you porn
know,
stashes.
He's ticking a lot of boxes there.
Yeah.
Musically and visually.
Another serious thing I want to say about this before we leave this and wrap this first stellar first episode, I'm going to say, is that. Yeah, so like this is his metal album, and he's trying to be all tough. But whimsy is an integral part of Joel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and there's lots of like moments in here. Like I want to play you the very end of the last song, and it's like it's not metal at all. It's here.
Is this the ending of Revenge of Sweet?
No, this is the end of the last song on the album, which is Brain Invaders or whatever. Little cadenza kind of thing.
Right. You know, maybe I can see why they're not going to bring back the organ.
No, just listen to the last moment here. It's coming up in like 5 seconds. I mean, it's really one step away from da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
It really is!
You know? Like, Joel can't not be whimsical.
Right.
You know, even when he's trying to be tough.
Right, right.
And I appreciate that.
I do too. I think it ends on a kind of a hopeful sort of, yay, metal. Watch out for us, guys, world. We're Attila.
Do you know what happened to Attila? Did you read about this?
Yes, I did.
Okay, tell the people.
Billy Joel hooked up with his bandmate's wife.
Yes.
She left her husband.
John Small, the drummer.
John
in Attila.
Small, the drummer. But he and Billy and John stayed friends, and John Small ended up doing something for Billy later on in his career.
Yeah. So, like, Elizabeth, that's Billy Joel's first wife,
yeah.
Right? Like, Elizabeth is Billy Joel's first wife, but Billy Joel is Elizabeth's second husband. Her first husband was John Small, the drummer in Attila.
That's
why they broke up.
Yes, that's
why Attila broke up.
Right.
Not why Elizabeth and Billy Joel broke up.
No. I think that was...
I'm sure we'll cover that in subsequent episodes.
We will. And there's the most backhanded compliment of a song written about her that's ever been.
What song is that?
I'm not even going to tell it. We're going to have to wait.
We're going to have to wait for it?
We're going to wait for it.
All right.
But it's like, if someone had written that song about me, I would have kicked them in the head. I would have been like,
you
Revenge
kicked
is
your
sweet.
Face in.
Revenge is sweet since you wrote that shitty song about me.
Sound familiar? I don't know what this is. How does this go? Okay, 5, 4. Living here in Allentown.
All right, so Meg, I think we have this idea that with the show we're gonna keep a running ranking of all Billy Joel albums, like and so by the end of it we'll know what we think the best Billy Joel album is to the worst Billy Joel album,
right?
And so now we have to make a decision, which is do we want to think that these three the three proto Joel albums, the Hassles two albums, and then Atira, do we want to say that these go on the rankings? Would you put these in the Joel Power rankings, or are these
would.
A special case?
I would. And let me make my case.
Okay.
Because it is still Billy Joel. He's still very, very influential within these bands and in their sound and in their trajectories. And you still hear these songs and you hear hints of what's going to happen later.
Okay.
So you can't really take the canon, the oeuvre of Billy Joel without these three.
Okay, so we got to put them in order. So what's the best of the three that we just listened to?
I like the Attila album.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am I going to agree with you about that? I think I don't. We haven't thought of a system for if we disagree about this. Like,
yeah,
it's really hard to average two numbers, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. I think we're gonna have to do this.
It's
do this.
Really hard to average two numbers.
Well, yes, you can average two numbers, but it's just not that like meaningful.
That's true. That's
Anyways,
true.
Don't give me crap about statistics 101, Donahue.
Hey, man, okay. You've got a graph about Billy Joel.
All right. So we're gonna put Attila number one.
Attila number one.
And we're gonna do this by consensus. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. So right now,
Only
Attila,
so you
right
could
now,
avoid math. You're
at
just
this
fine
moment,
with it, so you could avoid math.
At this moment, Attila is the number one Billy Joel
yes.
album. Okay. And then underneath that, shall we put Hour of the Wolf or
I don't know.
Hassel's debut.
Hassel's debut, I don't think was as I don't know. It just felt like so derivative. It felt like, but then again.
To me,
Hour of the Wolf was pretty driven.
Really
too.
Lame.
It was really
and
lame,
derivative.
But I kind of loved it because it was so lame.
I think that we should put Hassel's debut above Hour of the Wolf because
okay.
Hassel's debut is like, it's a very competent outing of a bunch of white boys from Long Island.
That's true.
Playing like Stax Records, you
yeah.
know? And it's like, it's not bad. It's honestly not bad. And you get a little bit of that kind of youthful testosterone energy in it that is exciting to me. But Hour of the Wolf is just lame, you know?
Oh, but it's so sweet.
Okay.
It's so lame.
You
want
to fight
so...
for that to be number two instead of number three?
No.
Okay. So right now the Joel Power rankings are Attila number one.
Yep.
Hassel's debut number two. And Hour of the Wolf by the Hassels is at the bottom of the list. Number three.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Got a call from an old friend. We used to be real close. Said he couldn't go on the American way.
Well, join us again for the next episode where we'll be talking about the first proper Billy Joel album, Cold Spring Harbor.
Cold Spring Harbor.
Woo!
I always call it Cold Stone Harbor in my
because
head.
Because everything has to go back to ice cream.
Well, so I had never had sweet cream ice cream until I went to a Cold Stone Creamery, and that was because that was before I moved to the South.
Right.
And sweet cream ice cream, for people who don't know, is just ice cream with nothing in it. It's
yeah.
just like, it's got no flavoring. It is just cream and sugar and cold.
Right.
Right? Okay.
And a big heap and a cold.
A big heap and a cold, right? And to me, like that so sums up Cold Spring Harbor. Like,
oh, there you go.
It's just got no flavor in it whatsoever. So we'll be back at you next episode when we're going to talk about Cold Spring Harbor.
But we're going to leave you with a little bit of the wisdom of Joel. This is from the song from Hour of the Wolf, which is just like an instruction booklet on how to not live your life.
Okay. Words of wisdom from Joel.
Words of wisdom. A serpent coils around your head. There's no hope among the dead. It is the hour of the wolf. Oh!
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to We Didn't Start the Podcast. I'm Adam Ragusa. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. Let's talk Joel on Twitter using the hashtag Joelhole. That's JOLHOLE.
Not the other kind of hole.
Not the other kind of hole.
Meg is at Donahue Meg.
That is DonahueMeg.
Sure is.
And Adam is at A Ragusea. That is ArAGUSEA.
What, you think people don't know how to spell Ragusea?
I just know
what country do you think you're living in?
If only I had a map.
Well, this podcast is just a hobby project created by us. We are not using it to make money, and the opinions expressed are solely our own. Please don't sue us, although we're squarely within our fair use rights on this program. Let me just make that very, very clear.
But please don't fight us on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of our sponsors are real businesses, but they're not really actually our sponsors. It's a joke.
It's a joke, people.
It's a joke.
Jesus.
Man.